Hanging Rock. I want to go back and revisit Joan Lindsay, the author of Picnic at Hanging Rock, and actually seeing the story that Joan has shared of her own time slip. That got me curious about maybe there's some more to this that I need to continue to explore. And since I have been focusing on her information and her story, then I have been more focused on my own specific time anomalies. There's one time I remember walking through the house and I looked at my cat as I walked by. She's in the living room. I'm in the hall. I walk just doing something in the other room, happened to look at her, see her looking at me from a chair. And I'm thinking she has this wonderful, she's a calico and she has this wonderful collar on. It's a green collar and it has a pink heart. And I'm like, wow, wow. And she's so photogenic. I took tons of pictures of her and I'm thinking this would be a great picture. And so I'm going into the other room thinking I'll grab the camera. And at that moment, I realize she doesn't wear a collar. Not only that, any collar I tried to put on her, she did a Houdini move and got out of it. And so I turn around, go back to see why I thought she had a collar. At that point, I realize she's actually seated in a different position. She's facing, for one thing, the opposite direction. She's not looking at me. And if she had been looking at me, she would have had to have been on the back of the chair, right up along the top, which would have been about 3.5-4 feet tall for her eyes to be at that position. And not only that, everything was wrong. And so, and it was just a fraction of a second when I thought I saw her the way that I did. And then when I tried to capture, reflect, remember that image, all I could get was something like a Cheshire cat and a being that was about 4 feet tall. Nothing about that made sense. So that image was burned into my mind. I knew that I had experienced some kind of a time shift, a dimension shift. And whatever was in that space was giving me an image that I could interpret because I wouldn't have understood what I was looking at and might have been frightened. This way, it didn't really disrupt anything. All I was left with was, what the heck was that about? And there are other times when I've had encounters that I have had to figure out how it works because it was impossible. I was walking the dog down the street and the dog did not respond to the hundreds of squirrels I saw running down one tree from the sky, down the tree, over across the street, and into a place I call it a wishing well. It's an old-fashioned well. I don't even know if it's operational. It just looks like it's very picturesque, and I've actually posted pictures of it. I thought it was just a beautiful scene. Well, this happened in midday. It was silent. I didn't hear any noises. And it was just innocuous, so it wasn't like it was a big deal. But the fact the dog didn't even notice, and she would be more, you know, if there's a bunch of squirrels, and she's going to go after it. But it didn't register. She wasn't seeing what I saw. What the heck was that? So there's more of that going on, and I've experienced those things. And so when I'm reading about the picnic at Hanging Rock and deciding, okay, there's more to this story, so that I got the secret of Hanging Rock. And then the person who also contributed and said, this is very similar what Joan writes about in the book, which if that had been put in, it would have completely, I think, taken away the enigma, the mystery, and put it into a different realm, a different genre. Because if the implication is it was similar to a UFO time slip, and people experience missing time when they have a UFO encounter. My UFO encounter, I don't know that it had missing time. Okay, let's not go there. How do we go forward? What's the purpose? And I think some of it is just so we can be aware that things aren't the way we believe them to be, cut and dry, linear, 1, 2, 3, 4. In the book, and this is the one that is about, I went ahead and got the Beyond the Rock, the life of Joan Lindsay and the mystery of Picnic at Hanging Rock. This is the book by Janelle McCullough. And I wanted to find out more about her because they alluded to her friends believing she was a mystic. And so little pieces I've read, little other bits and pieces of articles alluded to that. And so I thought, well, there's got to be something else in here. Sure enough, yes, there is. She had the impression that time was flexible, that we aren't stuck. So what happened to help her go along with that. I'm sure other things did, and she kept quiet about it. That's what they're saying, that she didn't talk about it because her husband was not a fan of spiritualism or those kinds of beliefs, and so she kept a lot of it to herself. However, her experiences were real, and she did share some of them. This is one of them. She was on a trip, 1929, driving with her husband to visit family, and she noticed some nuns running through a field. They were running from something, and one of the nuns appeared to be wearing burned clothing. When she looked back at the landscape behind them, she could see what appeared to be a burning building. She mentioned it to her husband. He was amazed. He hadn't seen anything, so he didn't recognize it. He didn't acknowledge it, and she knew what she had seen at that point was something that didn't exist in that timeline. So when they arrived at the town they were going to, she discovered a convent had existed on that side of town, but it had burned down several years earlier, and she realized somehow she'd been transported back to that time for a brief moment to see the image. So that's what we talk about. Now, when I've gone to places that are haunted, and there's a residual there of an image, something playing out from a previous time, then that makes a lot of sense too. And even talking to the ghosts, the spirits, the beings who are still in that time, basically, we're the ghost. We stand out. We don't belong there because they haven't experienced the history that we are now living. It doesn't exist for them, which that to me is fascinating. There's a woman I have seen on a porch, and she has a specific residence. And in her time, she's still in a rocking chair with a cat, and things are peaceful. There's no drama in the space that she's in, and it seems to be in perpetuity. That's just the state when I go there that I get with her presence, that she's constantly in the same phase. And for her, my own feeling is that time doesn't go anywhere for her. That's her. She's in that state, and maybe she will progress, maybe she won't. But I found that one fascinating because I always got that image and that sense of her in the space, feeling totally fulfilled, at peace. She doesn't need to go anywhere. She's happy where she is. So I'm not going to interrupt that. This is one of those little quirky things. They did a change. There's a change on the alarm that I had to find out about after things happened. It went from the alarm where you slide it to turn it off, the little, you know, swipe left, whatever, swipe right, and or snooze, and then it went to a button. The button is more convenient. I find the button helpful. Rarely do I hit snooze unless it's an accident. Then I have to go back and say, oh, shoot, fix it. So it switched. Now, with mine, apparently my phone, my clock, knew that I wasn't quite ready to make this shift completely. So what it has done is go back and forth. So one day it's on a button, the other day it's on a swipe. Okay. I finally am like, okay, how do I Google what has changed? And sure enough, I figured out how to plug in the right words with the right search to find out that, yes, there had been an update, and the program now offers the button, and some people don't like that. They prefer the swipe, and this is how you can fix that. All right. Okay, so now we go back to button and swipe. So this is interesting because I thought, well, maybe I need to start paying attention to what days that the button happens, and maybe that's a time shift. Maybe that's a clue that I'm going to be doing different things today. And I honestly think it actually does have something to do with it. So which gives you a sense of more flexibility and fluidity in your own experience, your own how you deal with reality. So just my own mind shift with that has opened up a few interesting basically, me trying to figure out how to make it work. But other people have done this as well. So as a matter of fact, when I first learned about how to either, create a bubble, create more time in a window, then that was fascinating too. I gave it a try and actually had my own experience going back and forth to work, knowing I had a certain time to accomplish this without being late, missing time. I had to do it fast. Well, I did it faster than I should have. It was a 10-minute, supposedly. It would take 10 minutes. That's what's happened before. That's what's happened since. And that day, it was more like a 6 or 7 minute excursion. And so it told me right. And plus, there was fog around the car. And there's no fog that morning. So that was also a little hint, a clue for me, something I could check that said, all right, something else is happening here. It's different. It's unique. And I can pay attention to it. It's relevant. So those other little things, like when I was walking down the street and saw the squirrels, the fact that it was quiet and there was no one else to witness what I saw. But even the dog didn't validate what I was seeing. Unlike the other time when the UFO was in the room and the dog barked, or not barked, but growled. So sometimes my pets can give me an idea that there's something unusual about my reality, and that helps. It helps to corroborate it. So with this, asleep, wake up, hear the alarm. It's muffled, like it's under the pillow or something weird. It just sounds far away. And so I hear the alarm. It wakes me up. I was asleep. And so I'm trying to figure out, well, where's the phone? And why did I set the alarm? It's the middle of the night. What did I do? What did I bump that made this happen? Okay, so I find the phone. It wasn't the phone. The alarm was still set for the normal time. It wasn't the phone that was ringing, and the alarm did not go off. But the time was midnight, and it was my birthday. So it was kind of a wake-up birthday call. And those are the kinds of things I like to keep track of. So I wrote it down. Now, depending on whether I'll keep that, that's another thing. For a while, I didn't want to be too linear. So I was taking notes on different notebooks on different pieces of paper and on napkins, and thinking I would organize them all eventually. That has yet to happen. So I'm sure some of the napkins and some of the notebooks are now completely gone. But I didn't want it to be so linear. And so I think I've accomplished that mission. But it could mean there could have been some connecting dots that would be helpful when going back and trying to figure out how this all marries up. That is, I think, part of the reason that I am more convinced that there are things that we do maybe at the time that seem purposeful and at the same time inconvenient, and later on, relevant. Okay, so you get it. Purposeful, I had an intention, I had a reason. Inconvenient, because it makes things more complicated and complex. And later on, relevant, because it actually does add up and it does make sense. So when we think we're doing things and, you know, going back and just kicking yourself, I should have done it this way, I should have done it that way, and then all of a sudden it creates this perfect harmony that if you had actually done it the way that you intended, that would be the perfect way by somebody else's standards, then you miss the point. But when you follow your own instinct, your own gut, your own hunch, then you develop a way that's fluid with your own reality and your own awareness, and you continue to evolve to make that work for yourself. I love the stuff that I get in terms of the dream analysis and dream interpretations and dream cues, but they don't always go by the book, because with my dreams, sometimes it will happen that it is relevant to a person that I have encountered, a specific person or a specific information piece that is helpful later on in the day or the week or the month or the year. So I'll get an actual fill in the blank piece of information that has been delivered in the dream time. And what the guides have said when I have asked them, and this isn't the nightlight, these are my guides. The nightlight is a different entity entirely. But what they have said is that this helps us, because it's not a linear concept that we have to deal with. They will give us parables, because we tend to insist on having accurate, complete, total, give me the information before it happens. I want to know in advance. And the people who have had that information and say they don't want it anymore said that they would get it in advance and they couldn't change anything. So what's the point? That's another bugaboo, because when you do have information and you give it to somebody and they've asked you for information and you can see this is going to happen, this is coming down the pike and I can tell you and maybe you can avoid it, that still doesn't mean that the person will take the information you have given them and use it to their advantage from your perspective. Because we don't always have the next piece of their puzzle. And it may very well be that the train wreck we're trying to help them avoid is necessary to get them from their point A to point B. And we don't always see that. So as I'm watching someone else go through a process and walk down a path, and I see the fox, the wolf, the lion, the tiger, the bear, and I can say, I can't exactly say something that's going to scare the heck out of them. So I can't say there's a big bear. I can say, take a left, take a detour, don't go that way. And then it's up to them the direction they'll take. Because if I do the one thing that scares them, then I have played into that reality and created something frightening that then they will be afraid to even go forward. And maybe they were supposed to go forward in order to meet not the bear, but the other elephant on the path who says, hey, let's go this way. So they were actually supposed to meet the one who was going to be the intervention, the guardian, the spirit. And that was supposed to happen. I don't see the big picture. I just see the small little details. And for us trying so desperately to find out what is the future, how will this happen, and then only getting a very teeny tiny piece of the equation, we miss the important things, that the details, because that's where all of this stuff happens and where we can change the momentum, the trajectory, the outcome, if we are alive in the present and engaged. And this, as I'm taping, recording this, I'm also going to listen to see afterwards if anything has presented itself, an anomaly, you know, and see if that is a part of this presence as well. Because when I taped one previously, and this had happened years ago when I was in Sedona, I was on the way to, I worked at a radio station there for a short while, like a blink. And the drive between the village of Oak Creek over to Sedona and the station, there was a beautiful, it isn't there now, they've redone the highway, so it's like a 4-lane. Anyway, it was 2-lane, and it was beautiful. And so I would get, on the way back and forth to work, tapping, and I could count the taps. And I also had it in the room of the casita where I was staying. And the taps were letting me know, because they were sequential, that something, there was a presence with me that wanted to be acknowledged. And I don't think this presence is the same one now, but I do think that this kind of behavior indicates those other entities, essences. And recently, they've given me the word elemental as a way to put into mind what they might be, which is greater than just a spirit or an entity. It's something that is part of the environment that has all sorts of meanings. To me, it can be a weather presence. It can be a land presence, an elemental that is part of the scene that's been here before and will be here long after we are. So that even takes it to a greater level. So recently, as I'm getting that, now I'm being drawn to things that talk about pantheism. And D.H. Lawrence is the one, of course, now the dog's barking because he's been left alone. So D.H. Lawrence, there's a quote that I won't say right now, but I put it on the blog, and that represents this cosmology, this bigger equation that we are all part of. I wanted to get this in on audio so that I could talk it through and bring the time element into play, because for me, this time thing is becoming more important as we shift and evolve our consciousness. And the UFO, UAP, the other elements that represent that foreign entity that we insist on calling alien, what I have been given is transdimensional, which also goes with interdimensional, and other, which means alien is kind of a poor fit, but that's what we're working with right now. So with all of that, we're going to go back to the drawing board and figure out how time factors in, because what's happening is something is able to shift our experience, and they're doing that by changing time. And when you're out of body, you know there's a timeless feeling that comes with that. You don't have to worry about the clock. People who've had a near-death experience have had that experience too. There's no clock. there's just unusual sense of presence, and a presence that's more real than this reality being stuck in the physical form. And that's what I like about Joan's work. It drew the attention to the time element. When they premiered the show Picnic at Hanging Rock, the theater where the show premiered, the clock stopped at noon. People who worked on the show experienced anomalies where their watches would stop. They were trying to keep track of time, which is important when you're trying to film a scene or trying to, you know, figure out the time on the film to go back and do a time check and marry up all of the information. Okay, and for me in broadcasting, yeah, time is essential. I have to be on the clock. And so recently when I experienced the complete and total impossibility of how I inserted a piece of the audio that was supposed to go in at a specific time, my audio, when I inserted it, should have been after the time that was on the clock because I had recorded it ahead of time. And it didn't work that way. I'm looking at my clock and going, how could this possibly have happened? Here I am working. I've got the audio. I put it in. The clock time is 2:45. I recorded it at 2:47. So how can the clock time still be 2:45? Out of time. Not in sync. That's a time slip. And I'm still trying to figure that one out. All right, that's it for now. I'll follow up with the blog post, and that's at the WordPress site, Talking to Nightlights on WordPress. I realize from looking at the numbers that I have listeners from all over the world, and I just want to say I appreciate you listening to me and working along with me trying to make sense of some of these things, but also if you're just curious, for just checking in and sampling, and wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope these things inspire you to make your own search and be curious about something that's basically, you know, makes your heart beat faster and makes you want to know more. Because for me, that's where we grow. That's where we evolve. And that's what this is all about. So thanks for listening. Stay curious.